All right, welcome back. Who's talking? Second half hour tonight. Jim Hobgood here. Frank Maloney to my left, and also to my left, Terry Gates. As I often say, it's not easy to get to Hobbo's left, but tonight we got two people on my left. We'll also be joined momentarily by Chris Wright from the Sabre, so he can bring us up to date with various and sundry things. But we're glad you have joined us. 345-0910 is the phone number. And we also, while we have a moment before Chris calls in, we're going to go to the LeClaire-Ryan play of the game with Frank Maloney describing it.
Who's Talking recognizes Moo, as in Mustafa Farrakhan, for his brilliant no-look pass to Will Sherrill in the corner for an easy three ball with about 3 minutes to go, giving UVA a 55-44 lead against LSU on Sunday night. A few minutes later, Sherrill made another three ball that basically iced the game. LSU proceeded to make some fouls. Virginia kept sending people to the line and basically walked away. It was a very important win for Tony Bennett and the program. They had to shake off the rust from the previous games. And then, obviously, we want to tip our hat also to Moo for Tuesday night's big win against the Bison because he was in fuego, Hobbo.
He was what now?
In fuego. He was on fire.
Oh.
Couldn't miss. In fact,
you got to explain that to Gates and me. You know, we don't know these big fancy words.
Right? Trying to make sure you guys wake up.
I thought he had an inflammation somewhere. Yeah. You know.
Well, Mustafa said,
"Get him a Z pack or something."
you guys, man, they're asleep on me here. Mustafa said that the basket looked like a hula hoop on Tuesday night.
It was moving.
I guess.
Oh,
well, he made so many shots. He made 11 in a row at one point. And he missed the 12th. If he'd made the 12th, it would have broken the record, which Curtis Staples and he now share.
I thought Bobby Stokes was involved with that,
and
too,
Bobby
right?
Bobby Stokes also has a piece of that, I think.
And speaking of Bobby Stokes, he will join us next week. More about that later.
Which is exciting.
The record you're talking about, there's two records there. A three-point record and a consecutive shot.
Go ahead.
And Dr. Stokes is... holds consecutive field goals mark of 12 in 1977. And we were thinking that was probably over a four or five game stretch for the good doctor.
Right. It's not like he couldn't fill it up, though, because in his high school days, Bobby averaged 33 points a game, Hobbo. And we know that you know because you helped recruit him.
Was that King and Queen?
King William High School. He was a player at King William High School, and Coach Holland was in his first year, and he got a letter. He got lots of letters from people saying, you ought to see this kid play. They didn't think playing at King William High School was ACC caliber play, so since my time could be wasted, I was elected to go down to see him. I was a graduate assistant coach at the time. Problem is, I came back, and I told Coach Holland, I said, you know, the kid's he's a great athlete, and he's a terrific kid, comes from a super family. We ought to think about giving him a scholarship, and they lost out on a couple other kids, and he came, and fortunately for both Dr. Stokes and me, he did very, very well.
Well, thank goodness you had a hand in that.
Well, I did something right, once. You know, even a blind squirrel finds an acorn once in a while,
Well, you did a little bit better than that. Anyway, we have to take our hat off to Mustafa because he really has been involved in some terrific play lately.
Well, hopefully it'll continue on the next two Saturdays against Carolina. You know, I'm impressed with the 31. I'll really be impressed if he puts down 31 on Carolina and or Duke.
Listen, if he breaks 20 against Carolina and Duke, I think we need to name him Player of the Month or something. I mean, that would be tremendous.
We may have to give him a free car wash at the carpool.
We'll take him to dinner at Fridays, too. All right, Terry, while we're waiting for Chris Wright from the Sabre, just some general thoughts about the basketball team. Or the Hoos are entering the meat of the schedule. They're getting ready to play some of the big dogs, as they say.
Non-conference is over. 15 games left, all ACC games.
Party's over. Now we've got the big time. We've got a packed house, sold out JPJ on Saturday. What does Tony Bennett have to do to make the most of this situation? And let's assume for the moment that Mike Scott cannot play.
Well, I just think that, you know, this is a game you have to embrace. It's Carolina. This is one of the reasons you came to the University of Virginia. You came to play good quality, you know, basketball contests with Carolina, with Duke, with whoever. And I don't care who's playing for UNC. They're going to put a respectable team out there. And now it's for some of these younger kids who've got a lot more minutes than you would have thought they would have because you had Will Sherrill missing time, you had Samuel Zaglinski missing time, you had Mike Scott missing time. So these guys have gotten a lot more time than they typically would have, And it's time for, you know, Jontel Evans. It's time for JT Harrell. But the other kids, the Akil Mitchell, who's gotten some more time here lately, it's time just to quit worrying about it, going out and play and have some fun and, you know, take good shots and do what you know the coach asks you to do. And you have to embrace it. You really have to want to be there. You have to want to take shots. And it's all about taking good shots and wanting to take those shots.
Yeah, I looked at the Carolina basketball notes. That's something that Frank Maloney would never do. It's too distasteful for him to pull up the Carolina site. But 1983-84-85 is the last time Carolina won three consecutive games in Charlottesville. They've won two in a row, so they're going for a third. And I initially looked at that and I said, 1983? Ralph was still playing in 1983, but they won in Charlottesville, Ralph's last year, and then won the 2 years after that, but have not won three consecutive games in Charlottesville in the last 25 years. So big game on Saturday. See if the Wahoos can keep them from that third consecutive win in Charlottesville this year.
You know, deep down, you've got to believe that KT Harrell has got to find a way to give them the 12 to 14 points with his jump shot and his drives to the basket. Will Regan has got to get some rebounds. There can be no pussyfooting on his part. He's got to get in there and play like Terry Gates. Clearly, Cheryl has got to come back from getting kicked in the shin against Howard. He's got to fight like the Dickens and make some three balls. Akil Mitchell needs to get some rebounds, which is not really his forte. And clearly, Mustafa and Sammy and Jontel have got to raise their games collectively on all levels, whether it's their dribble penetrations, their open jumpers, if they can get them, maybe some fast breaks. Virginia's got to get some steals so they get some easy buckets going the other way.
That's one thing. They do not get easy baskets. The games they do win, they get some steals, they get some easy baskets. But these games we're talking about, they score 47 points, 50 points. You look at it, there's not one or two easy baskets in the whole 40 minutes. So scoring's a problem. You got to create some opportunities, and you got to get some easy opportunities. But you know, on the other hand, if I'm UNC, you just say, hey, that Jontel Evans is not going to beat me on the dribble, and you say KT Harrell's not going to beat me on the dribble. If you keep those two guys from penetrating, we'll take what that gives UVA.
Well, it becomes a challenge just looking at the Carolina. I mean, Carolina's averaging almost 79 points a game. So it comes,
what, in the 50s?
Well, it comes back to the point where Virginia's going to have to figure out a way to score some points, which probably means you've got to make some jump shots, particularly if Mike Scott's not out there. But it's interesting to me, you know, Carolina's always been an interior-oriented offense. Now, they got the big kids Zeller and Harrison Barnes, the freshman, and also John Henson. So they're really big. I think we got Chris Wright on the line. But
we've got a caller. Let's see what kind of
caller?
Question we got.
Okay.
Put him on. William, is that you?
It's William.
Yeah, go ahead with your comment
with
or question.
Yeah, just I was up in Charlottesville last night, and obviously it was an unbelievable shooting show. But you're going to face a team on Saturday that plays a little bit better defense than Howard exhibited last night. I think that if we don't shoot the ball, you know, pretty close to the way we shot it, we're going to have a real difficult time beating Carolina. I think not having Mike Scott the rest of the year, if that's what it ends up being, it's going to be an awesome task for this team to overcome. We really do not have any interior size or interior rebounding ability, which really was proven last night on a pretty mediocre team. You know, when I looked at us being out-rebounded by that team significantly, it was pretty disappointing. Obviously, we shot the ball real well. Coach can't be real happy with the way we let them shoot the ball from outside. But just a real – hopefully the students will be back in town this weekend because the last couple of games up there with nobody in the stands, you know, it's like playing in a neutral site game, and that gives these kids absolutely no support when they're out there on the court. You know, I know we're trying real, real hard to play defense, and we're doing that a whole lot better than we've done in the past. But without any interior size, gentlemen, I think we're in deep, dark trouble as the ACC schedule comes up.
Well, you know, Terry, you can speak to this. We have size. It's just we don't have a whole lot of offensive prowess. You know, Ahsan Sen is 7 feet, and Regan and Mitchell are both pretty good size. And even Will Sherrill, 6'8". It's just do we have the interior scoring to compete against teams like Carolina and Duke?
And William brings a good spot. There was 10 offensive rebounds for Howard last night, so that's something that can't happen. We only had four. The rebounding battle was won because they had these offensive rebounds. But he's right, and, you know, it's – JPJ sold out. Think how many of those light blue, that tidy blow blue color uniforms and shirts you're going to see in Charlottesville.
There might be a few.
A few. How about a third of the arena?
Well, you know.
It's okay. They're paying their bills. Yes.
But the students will be back, and I think if the game is competitive, you would think the fans are really going to get into the game, and certainly the lion's share of the arena is going to be pulling for Virginia.
Oh, no question.
So if the Cavs can figure out a way to compete, I think it should be a heck of an atmosphere.
You know, looking at Carolina's schedule today, a common opponent was Minnesota. They lost to Minnesota 67-72. UVA beat Minnesota. Now, granted, we had Mike Scott then. Looking also here at the schedule, they lost to Vanderbilt 65-72. Carolina lost at Illinois. Illinois is a pretty good team.
They lost to Texas.
They lost to Texas, which is no shame there. Texas has got some players, and they can run. And lately, against some weak sisters, they've run up some scores.
Yeah.
Carolina does have a problem where their guards do not necessarily handle the ball cleanly. They rely on their big men to do all the scoring. If Virginia can jump their guards and overplay them and cause them to make mistakes, I think Virginia has a chance the defensive end to make things complicated for Carolina and could frustrate them.
Yeah, it's a good question for Coach Gates here. You know, Carolina, they really are interior-oriented offense. They're perimeter players. They don't shoot the three a whole lot or that well. Would you even think about throwing a little zone against Carolina? I know Coach Bennett doesn't like to play zone, though.
You know, I think you have to play what you do best and what you practice. I mean, maybe you switch it up every now and then, but I don't. You know, I think you go out and do what you've always done, and you just hope for the best. You hope that players rise to the occasion. And there is something to be saying about playing when you play a Howard on a Tuesday night, and there's 6,000-7,000 people there. It's a lot different when that JPJ is full.
Yep.
If that doesn't bring out the best in a player, I don't know what will.
Yeah, well, that's you get the old adrenaline flowing. Right. Particularly if you play at Virginia and you see those Carolina uniforms, and that doesn't get you fired up, there's something wrong.
You might have Joe Geek there on the bench with his orange cords.
He'll be somewhere in the building.
Yeah.
I don't know if he'll be on the bench.
Yeah,
maybe he can trip somebody up. Looking at some other things, some other news coming out lately. Did get word today that Hermitage High School's Curtis Grant has narrowed his list, and I believe it is Ohio State, UVA, Florida, and who is the other
North
one?
North Carolina.
North Carolina. So he's down to four schools. It's nice to think that we're still in there fighting for him because he's the number one player in the state. I think Demetrius Nicholson's commitment a week ago or so may have helped persuade Grant to keep looking at UVA. Dominique Terrell has identified some visits. He has been down to Charlottesville. This player can really play. He's not very big.
Is he the kid from Northern Virginia?
He's in Maryland.
Maryland.
The whole situation, the mixed up situation with the coaching change at Maryland has helped UVA in the situation. Also, the confusion in West Virginia has helped. So it says here he's 5'10", 165 pounds. He only scored 30 touchdowns, 2,000 yards rushing, and 1,400 yards passing, and 15 TDs passing. They played him at every position they've got. Clearly a superstar, 12-1 this year for his high school team. He's narrowed it down to just a few schools. Virginia's in that game, and his mother seems to like UVA a little bit.
Well, if Curtis Grant is listening, and that would be a good sign if he's listening to our show.
Okay. You never know. Maybe somebody at Hermitage has left.
Do come. I think, playing for Coach Lund, my attitude toward Mike Lundin, nobody has more energy and passion. He's also a man of great character and integrity, and I can't imagine a better program to be a part of than a Mike Lundin program. And if you come to Virginia, there's playing time there. I mean, it's there to be had.
Virginia needs linebackers.
And I was at Virginia. Now I know it's basketball, not football, but there's nothing more exciting than being part of building a program.
Right.
And Coach London is trying to rebuild the Virginia football program into something special. And to be a part of that right now would be just a great thrill and a tremendous opportunity.
Also, some other news, Hobo, and well stated. Not sure anybody could do any better. Zane Parr, Virginia's defensive end, announced this week that he is going to turn pro and put all his eggs
in. Is that a good decision?
Well, some people are questioning it. Physically, he's big enough to play in the NFL. His statistics...
I mean, what round would he likely be drafted in?
That's debatable. The question is, he has stayed healthy. He's got good size, which the NFL looks for. I want to say he's somewhere in the 6'4", 275-pound size. So special teams, he could latch on somewhere with the team, be a backup defensive end for somebody. Wouldn't command big money.
Yeah.
Just a few years ago, Nate Collins found a way onto one of the practice squads, got traded, and got to play some this year.
It's always tough for a football player, and Terry and I can't speak to that, but there's always the question, are you leaving too soon? On the other hand, you come back and you get hurt.
Right.
In football, that's always a possibility. Right. Regardless, since he's decided to leave, we wish him nothing but the best.
Right. One other player to mention before we go to our next break, Jeremiah A.J. Hendy, H-E-N-D-Y, 6'1", 190 pounds, also from Maryland. He has decommitted from Maryland recently. He's been offered by UVA, and he's taken an official visit on the weekend of January 21st, which is a basketball weekend. I think Virginia.
And his position is what?
Georgia Tech.
He plays pretty much everywhere. I want to say defensive back and wide receiver. We are playing Georgia Tech that weekend, Saturday the 22nd. That's a big recruit weekend for UVA. Hendy is also a highly rated player. So Virginia is going to load up the defensive secondary one way or the other this year. And that's exciting news. All right, we're going to head to our next break. We're coming back on the other side with an update on all the other Cavalier sports. Hang with us. We'll be back in just a few minutes.